Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. Having some fun today, laughing, talking about breakdowns, other people breaking down because we're talking about breakdowns.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, but you know what?
If you waste
learn
time
to love it because it's the best thing going today.
That's right. Woo! Keep the responses coming. We'll talk throughout the show about worst place you've been broken down. Speaking of broken down.
Let's talk about the Titans.
Right.
he spoke to Brian Callahan spoke today. We heard a little bit of it, but a couple of few things that he said. J.C. Latham, who missed last game with a hip injury, they're going to monitor him during the week. And he said Ole Udo and John Ojukwu could be potential replacements if J.C. can't go. Said Devondre Sweat was hopefully going to ramp up in practice this week, and they're hopeful to have him back. So that could be, you know, be a good thing for sure.
Probably not.
He was thank you. He was he was asked about how well the 2-0 Colts have been playing offensively. Says, "quote I don't think they've punted, and they've been really, really good moving the ball." I'd say that's a good
yeah right
good way to put it.
Do all that.
Jonathan Taylor is a really good back.
Is he? Have they not beat the Colts at home in a long time? Or am I missing this? They never beat Andrew Luck here. That was from 12-18, and I don't remember if they beat the Colts here at home because the Colts had some sort of put the Titans in a trance here in Nashville for a long time. I didn't know they lost in 2006 though when Baronis hit a 60-yard field goal.
I was there. I was with my dad.
Booted that bad boy.
It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
September 26th of 2021, Titans won 25-16 at Nissan Stadium. It's the last time they beat the Colts here.
So before that, it had been a long time because they didn't do it during Andrew Luck.
Who would have been the Colts quarterback then? 21.
Matt Ryan?
Maybe.
Was Matt Ryan in 20?
Was it Matt Ryan or
Philip
or
Rivers?
Rivers, yeah.
I know Rivers did COVID
year. It was 20.
Yeah. So maybe it was Matt Ryan.
Both are wrong. Carson Wentz.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
And that short stint with him.
Terrible.
I forgot about that.
I mean, how is he still around the league? He is terrible.
He's starting Sunday.
For the
Vikings.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, that's right.
Who are they playing and put money on the other team? Are they in Europe right now? They head overseas, the Vikings? Because they play the Bengals. Backup quarterback game, Browning versus Carson Wentz.
Yeah, right.
Ugh.
Yep. No, Europe's not for a few more
weeks.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah, but so I don't know. Look, I heard – okay, I want to get your thoughts on this because I was listening to your favorite show, Robbie and Rex Road.
Love that show.
This morning. God. And Robbie, I guess, is of this belief that he thinks that if they're going to win a game, it would be this one. And I get why he's trying to think that way. I think that was me last week of trying to talk myself into it.
Okay.
But I've now learned my lesson. Like, this team's not winning anything. Not right now.
No, they're not.
If they do, great. But they got to prove it to me.
Well, before the season started, we picked this down as a win for the Titans.
Yeah.
That was before we realized that Daniel Jones thinks he's Dan Marino. And they are totally playing for the memory of Jim Irsay. I mean, they are. They beat the Broncos, that was a good game. They punished the Dolphins in week one. So they got to come here and get it done. If they win that game on Sunday, they're 3-0. Titans are 0-3. My goodness. But, yeah, this is a game the Titans probably should win or at least be competitive with. So who knows? I don't think the Titans have any confidence right now in anything. And they got in order to get confidence, you got to start making good plays. Then you win games. You got great confidence. We saw that with Middle Tennessee State last weekend. Make plays, win games, it goes forward for you. But I just don't know, man. I really don't know right now.
I mean, it's hard to really know until they actually do something. But here's the other thing. From week one to week two, what have you seen that got better? Besides Cam, because I do think there were some improvements with Cam from week one to week two.
Give me a second. Give me a second. Io Manor's getting a little bit better.
Io Manor, I think, took a step forward. I think
Skoronski's badass.
Yeah, I think DK maybe getting a little bit better. I mean, he's a, he hell of a returner. I mean, he had a touchdown that got called back.
I think the defense is terrible. They can't cover anybody. Snead sucks. I don't know
if I see.
There's nothing there.
Yeah.
If I have the D-line, to search for
the
it.
The D-line missed Sweat, but the D-line was still decent.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, it's really a tough question because I don't. If I have to search for
but
it,
the, but the,
then it's
so,
not there.
So that's my point. That's the point I'm trying to make of, you know, if it's not getting better. And I agree, don't do it after 2 weeks. And even if they go 0-3, I don't know if I'd fire him yet. But it's kind of like you're going to ask yourself at some point, all right, I've given this a month.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing's changing.
Yeah.
So then I think it happens.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's a very winnable game. But
right now,
again, it's the Titans.
Right now, unless something changes, he doesn't make it to Vrabel. I don't think.
Gosh, I don't know.
Because the other thing too that we haven't we've addressed it a little bit, but I've heard other shows kind of talk about this more. You know, you've brought up he needs to give up play calling. Like everybody has said, like, well, he sucks at calling plays. Give up play calling. If that's going to be the case, then just fire him because mm-hmm. that's why you hired him. You hired him to be the head coach to call the plays because that's the new NFL, and he clearly can't do that. So if you're going to say, you know, Brian, you got to give up play calling, then just fire him.
He's not going to give play calling. He's already said that. He's not going to give it up.
Right.
But, I mean, he's not going to step down and say, I'm going to be just a play caller and promote. He's just not good.
And you, to his credit, if you know you're dead man walking, which I think at this point he has to know that, you go all in. You keep doing it the way you want to do it. Because nothing, you know, you're not changing because you don't think you have to change, and you just go and you do it your way. And if something turns around, then good on you for betting on yourself. And if it doesn't, then you went down swinging.
7829 says, "See, Snead did not suck, Big Joe. You just be yapping. Good Lord, gave up 2 touchdowns, targeted 10 times. I think he gave up 7 catches. Yeah." He got beat twice in the end zone. So 7829, you must be somehow related to Snead. And that's cool. You're defending your boy. I like that. But he still sucks. And then you could ride that train with him because he's not very good. He's not. You're a shutdown corner. You didn't do the job on Sunday. They kept coming after you. Why? Because they know Davante Adams is going to beat you every single time. And they did. And you gave it up. Sorry. It's the way it happened.
I don't know. A lot of people liked how he played.
I gave it up. They kept going at him
because
they knew it would work. So if you're happy giving up 2 touchdowns, hey, man, that's all good for you. I wouldn't be. And you'll be a shutdown corner? Nope, not happening. Thanks again, Ran.
At least he's on the field. At least he was on the field. That's kind of the point. Well, because he wasn't all last year, so I mean,
well, if you're not any good, I don't want you on the field.
See, I don't. I'm not with
you.
You
read his stats yesterday, and you're like, "Yeah, you're right." I'm like, "Yeah, they targeted him. Go back and read his stats again."
No, I just closed it. But I mean, yeah, look, I get it. The stats don't blow you away, but
make plays. He made no plays. He made no plays. He had a couple of tackles down the field. Yay. Your job is to stop.
3 passes defended on the season is what he's got to this point.
Ooh, all right.
And I think those were Sunday.
So don't tell me how great he's playing when he's not.
I never said great.
I didn't say you. This guy is.
Yeah, okay.
God, I'm doing a Rex Road, aren't I?
You are. You're triggered.
I'm getting upset by one dude who's Snead's cousin. Sorry about that.
Or the person that doesn't like birthdays. could be that. 615-737-1025. Chasing Big Joe on this Wednesday, 1025 The Game. That's why we are the people's show, Chasing Big Joe, 1025 The Game. You ask, you will receive. And that is a little breakdown by Tom Petty. Hey, you can subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Chasing Big Joe. You can watch us on YouTube and Twitter as well. And just at 1025 The Game. So look forward to that. Or you can listen on the radio as well. So
some of these responses to where you guys have been broken down, worst places. Keep them coming. 615-737-1025. Coming off Chase breaking down on the interstate today.
Well, a flat tire.
He still broke down. Yeah. These are all great. I mean, these are just because we've all been there at some point and everything. So keep them coming. These are funny. Thank you, guys.
Yesterday, we were going to get into this, and I think we brought it up a little bit, but you are of the belief if you get to a point where they're 0-5 or 1-4 or whatever, like, you know, I mean, pretty much all but confirming what we already know, and that is they suck and they're not going to go anywhere.
Right.
That you would start trading off assets.
I would. Baseball teams do it all the time.
Hockey teams do it. I mean, you see it basketball, right. Other sports. You see it some in football. But the big one that you brought up is Jeffrey Simmons and going ahead and moving on from that contract. I don't think they will, but I'm starting – and I mean, like, look, he has been – I think he's been really good the first two games. Mm-hmm. I know he had the penalty in Denver, but other than that, like, he has been a game wrecker. Like, he has been what you want him to be. The problem is the rest of the team is not good.
Okay.
So I would set the price very, very high.
Hell yeah.
For him.
First rounder.
And then some.
Yeah.
And if you get it, then I think, yeah, you got to consider it. But, you know, he's bought in. He wants to be here. I think he wants to see this turnaround. But the thing is, with the way, and I know age is but a number, he is in his prime. So yes. I certainly understand that. And I think this team is a few years off.
All right. So he's been in the league 7th years. How many years do you think he'll take to turn the Titans around? I'm being honest.
I would say
3.
2 if you're lucky. 3 is more realistic.
Now he's 10 years in the league. And now you hit that 10-year thing. It's like, all right, 10 years in the league. Trade him now.
Now, look.
And that's being 3 years is being very conservative and nice. It might take 4.
Well.
He ain't around that time.
You and I both know this. Really, if we're just being honest, you got 2 years.
All right. Well,
We know why.
If you're 0-4, 1-5, trade him. It's okay. Trade him and get assets. Get draft capital. Hold on. And get draft capital and build and build and build. If your team is going to go 3-14 with Jeffrey Simmons, it's going to probably go 3-14 without him. So trade. It's okay if you trade him. You get things back. But don't give it up for a 6th rounder and then a 5th rounder 2028.
I'm with you.
Something now, and it's okay again. People, well, I can't believe. Good. Jeffrey, take care of yourself. We wish you well. All right, give us your 1st rounder and keep. The only way you're going to turn this team around is by drafting good players. And the more draft choices you got, the better it is. This last draft in 25 for this football team, pretty damn good so far. Not bad. It's not bad. And you got a few of the pieces that you've gotten there. It's not bad. So now you keep building, get rid of the really bad players on the team, and then get the assets you can do from others, and then you're building. Pretty simple.
Yeah, because, I mean, like, you know, they just signed. Who they just signed to a contract? Hooker to a contract extension.
Yeah, I like
which
him.
Was good, which was the right.
Always
right,
around the ball.
Right move to do. But I hear what you're saying, and I don't necessarily disagree with it. But, again, I think you have to set the price to a point where, like, you got to be okay parting with him, but you're not going to change. You're not going to get off that price. Like, you're going to keep that price really high.
What's the lowest you go?
Right now, for me, I'm not doing anything. I'm getting a first, which I don't think that's truly what his value is, but that's what I'm taking.
You think Buffalo would take him?
I think Buffalo is probably in that group.
Damn right they are.
You know, that would consider it.
Yep. Rams? I know they got a good front 7.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be Kansas City might. Like, you know, the contenders, and you can always use help up front.
Yeah.
Defensively.
All that.
And he can be a game wrecker.
Now, I'd prefer trading him to the NFC just because he's over there now. But Washington would like him.
But going back to what you said about, you know, 3 years, they have 2. Because when that stadium opens, she wants to be good. And I totally get that. And in today's NFL, if you have the right coach and the right guy picking the players as the GM or whatever, you can turn it around sooner rather than later. But a lot of things got to go right. I think we all agree. Right now, they don't have the right coach. I think they have the right GM.
Right.
I don't know what Brinker is in all this, but if he's letting Borgonzi pick the players and all that stuff, so far in a small sample size, I like what I see.
Yes, I'm with you on that.
And but if you bring point, in, if they brought in, you know, I don't even know if Gruden would fit this, but like an established coach that, you know, could come in and turn this thing around quickly, which, again, I don't know if Mike McCarthy's not really that.
Right. Well, the biggest turnaround 1 year to win a Super Bowl was the 98-99 Rams. 98 Rams were 3-13. 99, they turned it around and won the Super Bowl. Colts did it, 98-99. They had Peyton Manning. They were terrible in 98. And 99, they won the conference and got beat.
And they got Dungy, right?
They got – no, Dungy came in 02. They saw Jim Mora. So, I mean, it's rare that you turn around a team that fast, but it can happen. But you got to – I mean, they drafted really good. You got to keep drafting good. Then you sign a free agency to plug in here and there. Unlike, you know, I think Rand Carthon thought, well, I go out and I'll sign these free agents and that'll overtake what the draft does. And it's like, no, that's not going to happen. But again, this draft was really good. And Skoronski has turned out to be really good despite people hating him. He's playing really, really well, right? And if Latham could come back and get back to that hip injury and start playing well, it's good. Then find a left tackle somewhere because Dan Moore sucks. And then you're going to have some hit and miss, but there's more hits than misses right now. You turn this around. But you're going to go bad anyway, whether you got Jeff Simmons or not. Use him for the value. Again, baseball and Chase, you said hockey teams do it all the time. And you go out and you get value for that. I've been watching the Cowboys. I watched the first 3 episodes of the Cowboys documentary. When they trade Herschel Walker, I'd be like, oh, he's the best running back. How dare you do that? And watching Jerry Jones talk about that and Jimmy Johnson, how they put it all together, fascinating. Because nobody thought they could do it. Fascinating. And they cut the 5 players they got from the Vikings and gobbled up draft choices, and they drafted some amazing.
Which nobody will ever make a trade like that again.
Never. But Jeffrey Simmons, you're asking for one guy. Give me your first rounder back. And if it's the Bills and you're taking a pick at 28th, who cares? You got a first round pick you got right there. Plus, you get rid of the payroll. It's $19 million gone. And it's good. Everybody's happy and all that. Everybody's happy. And you shake his hand and say, thank you for your service. Let's move on. That's simple.
2174 on our text line said they should trade Simmons to Dallas. I would be interested to call Jerry Jones and say, hey, Jerry, what you got? What you thinking?
Maybe. Yeah.
But I feel like on certain players, Jerry finds you. And Jerry, you know, Jerry will be like, Steven, that Jeffrey Simmons, I want him.
It's like who, Detroit? I mean, get him out. I get the AFC. I just don't want to see him again.
I mean,
I have to go at him again. But put him in the NFC somewhere. I mean, Detroit could use him. If the Packers want to go all in for 1 year, we'll go all in on 1 year. You imagine them adding Simmons in there and Micah Parsons of the team they've already got?
Yeah.
Holy hell. I mean, that would be something else. But, look, sometimes you got to pay the price and to do that and get your football team up there. I don't know. I just – it's a way for the Titans to do this.
Everybody's got a price for the million-dollar man.
So I think so, yeah.
I will say, and this could just be Vrabel nauseam and just – it's just annoying at this point. I think New England would be a great fit for Jeffrey Simmons, primarily because, I mean – Mike Vrabel has final say on everything up there. He runs that whole entire organization.
By the way, that's a really good point.
Trade him after the game, not before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. 2 weeks after, because they take on the Falcons. They have a pretty easy schedule.
When's the trade deadline? Week 7?
Week 9.
Week 9. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, then.
Have you looked at a certain former Titans stats in 2 games with New England?
Yeah, he's doing really well.
Harold Landry.
Doing really well.
8 tackles, 3.5 sacks in 2 games.
I think he's got more sacks than the Titans do.
He does. That one was tricky because it was a bad contract. But at the same time, like,
it was market value.
He wasn't all that bad last year.
He was getting market value. I thought Lawan's contract was awful. That was market value.
Let's see.
I thought Lawan gave up after that.
He had last year 71 total tackles, which was pretty much on par for him, 9 sacks. the year before, which was when he came back from the knee injury, 70 total tackles, 10 and a half sacks. And then 21, when he got the contract, 75 total tackles, 12 sacks. So, I mean, he's been all
kind of in that. Did he have a knee injury in that part of that, too?
Well, that's what I'm saying. 22 is when he tore the ACL in this whole year. And 23 was coming back, and then 24. So, I don't know. And then I knew, like, as soon as they cut him, I'm like, well, he's going to Vrabel.
Oh, yeah.
He's going back to that, so. Just kind of an interesting one to watch.
So when it happens, you can say, God, Chase and Big Joe had it again. Guys are the best. I mean, they're embarrassing, but they had it. I mean, they knew what they were talking about.
615-737-1025. You can continue to weigh in on our phone and text line. It's Chase and Big Joe presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel here on this Wednesday. And a DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan, in case you didn't know. They're going to be broadcasting from 3 to 6 at Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse this Friday as they celebrate the opening of their all-new rooftop dining area and bar. It's also a great place to go before the big Vanderbilt game this Saturday night against Georgia State. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. I was waiting for it to kick in. Great song. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. We will get back into the Titans, but I do want to read this text real quick. 0598. Why in the world would you trade definite pieces or starters from some projects? Did we not learn anything from AJ Brown or Henry? You didn't trade Henry. He left. He didn't want to be here anymore. I can't take another Burks or Spears experiment. Both have set our wide receiver and running back room back for years. The goal is to find elite players and build around them. Why would you get rid of an elite player in their prime? I get draft picks, but we haven't had much luck there. We are showing signs that we have one good draft class. The last several have been subpar at best. Boom. You make that trade, and I appreciate you listening. You make that trade because you're not a good football team right now, and you're not going to be a good football team next year either.
Well, here's my response to it.
Why waste a guy in his prime?
But what if they draft the right guys? Imagine it's better than you possibly thought it could be. What if they do draft the right? All we are, I know the history, right? But it was ran, and then a John Robinson's thing. It wasn't very good. I get that. But what if they do draft the right? What if they trade Simmons and they get these extra picks and everything, and they draft the right guys? It can happen. Believe it or not, teams actually do draft the right players. It happens. I know it's crazy. I know, what are you talking about? But it does. And what if they do draft the right players? You build the team through the draft. That's the only way you can do this. And what if it's better than you possibly imagine? Let's think about it that way. We got to see it, how it plays out. But I'm all about that way than watching what's happening right now. It's got to be a lot better. And I think it can be a lot better. I think Burgundy knows what he's doing. And we saw it with this draft. Yeah, it was a good draft. Next year, make it just as good, and on and on and on. You build the team. I got no problem with saying goodbye to Jeff Simmons.
We'll continue to talk about that here in just a little bit on the Chase and Big Joe Show. But you have a little bit of a college football topic.
Well, it's not that. It's kind of a quandary I'm in right now. And I think let's go back to Arch Manning for a second. I looked at this. Arch is not good. If you want to tell me he's not good, watch the game versus Texas El Paso on Saturday. He's not good. And it's okay if you're not good. But I'm telling you, a lot of analysts are afraid to criticize him because of his uncles. I'm telling you right now. I see it all the time, especially they're afraid to criticize and make Peyton mad. And that's like, this is what? It's the way it is. And then tell me when you got that ready about. So Paul Feinbaum, I'm proud of Paul. Paul stuck his big neck out there at the beginning of the season about Heisman Trophy winner. He's the greatest. Now Paul Feinbaum is out.
Are you still Paul in on him after yesterday's win, albeit an underwhelming? He's throwing in the white flag.
He's waving the flag.
He's throwing in the towel, waving the flag.
I'm not bright, but I'm not the stupidest person on the face of the earth. I'm out. Okay, count me out. I gave it a shot. It blew up. I like Arch. He's going to be a great player someday. Some year. but not this year. It's over. Come on. You can't look at 3 weeks and find a way for the front row in New York. So nice knowing you, Arch. See you soon.
And so we get it's all drama and theater at the beginning of the season. We all laughed about that. But we, SEC Media Days, Chase, we were there, and we asked all these people, Cole Kubelik, McElroy, and they're like, I don't understand it. I don't – the small sample size we got was okay. I don't understand it. And it was like, well, you know, his uncles are, you know, Peyton and Eli. He's just not good. He's just not good right now.
Right.
And people are afraid to call him out.
I think that – you have to respect the pedigree and all that, where, you know, the family's in, because they're all pretty good athletes. I say that to say that I don't think he's ready now. I'm not saying he won't be. You know, I think if he stays another year, which he needs to at this point, and they continue to work with him there at Texas, then he probably can be, you know, good. But, I mean, the other thing is, like, and it's partly our, when I say our, I mean the media, like all of us fault, fans. Just because his last name's Manning doesn't mean he's going to immediately be Archie Peyton or Eli.
All y'all thought he was.
Right. Like everybody, you know, everybody
oh my God.
Anointed him. But and so what that hit me, so that's done him a disservice.
Right. Well, what hit me was Spurrier's comment, and I laughed it off.
Yeah.
But the comment was like, if he's so damn good, why didn't he beat out a seventh-round draft choice last year at Texas and Quinn Ewers? And then you go back and they tweeted out, look, the Ohio State game, I give Arch a pass on that, all right? No pun intended. Because that's a tough environment. And you saw the breakdown, Matt Patricia, how he attacked Arch. I'm not sure Peyton could have figured that out. But now I saw it with the other two. I mean, this game versus UTEP, he was very, very underwhelming. And so, but others aren't stepping up and say, look, it's just not good right now. And they're, I think they're afraid because of the uncles. I really do.
Do you think when you watch Arch, does he look scared? I think he looks very timid.
He looks like he's taking all the pressure in.
Yeah.
And like, oh my God, if I make a bad throw here, what happens? He doesn't look relaxed.
Right.
And it's about to get a lot more tougher for him in the SEC with that schedule. But if you can't throw dimes against UTEP, nothing against UTEP, but you're Texas, and you play bad like that, yeah, man, that's not good.
I don't think he's – it's funny. Like you, I like the what you put on Twitter, on X, is Arch Manning a bust? I don't think he's a bust. I think he's Arch Davis. I think he's Arch Thompson. I think he's Arch Miller. He's Arch
– Frazier.
Frazier. He's Arch Dubin.
Hey, man, what's your mouth?
He's not Arch Manning yet.
I'm no bust.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
Like it's just like because his last name – like Marshall's going to go through it too. Peyton's son Marshall, who is, I believe, in Chattanooga.
Yeah.
At one of the boarding schools. He's an eighth grader. I mean, we're going to hear all this same stuff about him because – and I think Peyton's going to make it worse because Peyton's going to be like, oh, you know.
What's he going to do? I'm down at Baylor down there in Chattanooga. I got me a house up in Ottawa. It's just down the street from Chattanooga. Maybe Marshall. He's no Marshall Mathers, but maybe one day he'll be Marshall Manning.
But, I mean, look, the same stuff's going to happen with him. It's going to be worse because he's Peyton's son.
Right.
It's like, oh, here we go. He's the next one.
You know who I always felt sorry for? And, Ricky, I know you're listening. Pete Rose Jr.
Yeah.
How do you live up to that?
You don't.
I mean, he had a little cup of coffee here for the Sounds back in the the 2000s or something, but it's just tough. And to be in the family like that, I mean, Arch didn't ask for this, you know, but you're born into it and it happens.
You know who is the most relaxed and laid-back person now that he's retired and not having to do it anymore?
The kid? Griffey Jr.?
No. Well, I was going to say somebody else.
Oh.
Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Yeah.
And he's talked about it. Like, he has talked about the amount of just pressure that is on him that you put on yourself, that other people put on you.
Yeah.
And he had it even worse because he's starting his career, his dad's still there. like he's in that shadow. Then his dad dies, and all of a sudden everybody's like, well, hey, look, you got to take on his legacy.
Yeah.
Like his fans are your fans.
Let me ask you, is it different? Who's the oldest, Carrie Earnhardt?
Yes.
All right. Is it different that Dale Jr. is Dale Jr. and not Bill Earnhardt? I mean, it's the you got the name.
Yeah.
You're the junior.
I would say yes, but also he was good. I mean, he was a you knew he was going
Dale like, Jr.
You knew that he could cuz Dale Sr. made him do it the way he did it. Mm-hmm. Like it's like just cuz I'm Dale Earnhardt, now I'm going to help you. But you got to go buy your car and you got to work and all that stuff. He made him work for it. Now, once he earned that, then all of a sudden he got to, you know, be Dale Earnhardt's son.
Yeah.
And have some of that. But so I'm not saying that, you know, he didn't have that kind of help. But I think he was a good race car driver. You know, now he wasn't his dad.
Right. Like Tom Brady's kids, the boys.
Yeah, right.
I mean, how do you live up to that? I mean, and people are going to ask you to. And I just don't – it's going to be tough. And that
look,
that goes back to Arch and Marshall Manning and all. I'm telling you, man, that is a legacy, and that's something I wouldn't wish upon anybody to try to live up to that.
There are two young men in the NFL right now. One, I think, is on a practice squad, and one is on a team that are dealing with this. And some of it's their own fault, and some of it's their dad's fault, but it's kind of the same deal, and they will never, ever, 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 ever live up to their father's legacy. And that is Shador and Shiloh Sanders. Deion Sanders is one of the greatest mm-hmm. NFL players of all time in any era. They can't touch that. I don't care what happens.
I think
they'll never touch that.
Shador could do better because he's not playing the same position. Think about the
potentially, but
about.
He won't. But he's
Dale Sr., Dale Jr., both race car drivers.
Yeah.
Marshall Manning, quarterback. Arch, quarterback because of his uncles. But Shador's, I mean, I get it.
Yeah, right.
But it might help him a little bit because you're not playing that position.
But not everybody's going to think the way you're thinking. A vast majority of people are just going to see the last name and go, oh, he's got to be as good as his dad.
What about Bronny James?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Bronny James. I mean, like, I remember. And Jeff Fisher has talked about this, but when they signed Jarrett Payton.
Yeah, he wasn't good.
And he wasn't. He wasn't an NFL player. But you hear that's Walter Payton's son. He's got to be a great
runner. Right, right.
It's unfair.
That's a good point.
And, like, here, going back to Dale Jr. for a second. Dale Jr. is a Hall of Fame race car driver. He won 2 Xfinity championships, 2 Daytona 500s. He's got the resume. I think he had close to 30 wins in the Cup Series. The resume that they have put, the criteria they have put forth says he is a Hall of Famer. But he was nowhere near as good as his dad. And he finally accepted that.
Mm-hmm.
He started the second half of his career when he met Amy and he went to Hendrick and he finally got out of that shadow a little bit and he just started having fun again. He enjoyed life and enjoyed being a race car driver and was just Dale.
Yep.
Dale Jr.
Yeah.
But it took a long time for him to get to that point. And it's hard. It's a completely unfair thing, but it is what it is.
I feel like we're leaving somebody out.
Probably are.
We'll trying to get out there and do that.
We'll continue this. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Here on this Wednesday, Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Wednesday. Really cool event coming up tomorrow night at the Pinnacle downtown. It is Trinetics Rock the Cradle. Tim McGraw is going to be the headliner. You and I are going to be there. I think we're just attending. They're not asking us to do anything. But
not yet.
We're just going to be there. And we say hello to Stacy Eaton Carter, who is on the line with us. She is the Director of Operations and Donor Relations at Ascension St. Thomas Foundation. Stacy, how you doing?
Doing great. How are y'all?
We are fantastic. We're really excited about tomorrow's event. But why don't you tell us a little bit more about why we're all getting together to do this?
Sure. Let me give you just a quick snapshot of the history. So the event started in 2010. Connie Bradley, music industry vet, and Troy Tomlinson came together, and they wanted to create an event that would bring the healthcare industry and the music industry together around a great cause. And so they created Rock the Cradle. The event helps support moms and babies who are served by the Ascension St. Thomas Midtown Hospital. And it does really, really great things to support those folks who, you know, are having a hard time after they've delivered their babies.
Well, and having somebody like Tim McGraw can't hurt, because we know what kind of a philanthropist he is and what he likes to do to help the community. And this is going to be awesome with him tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be a great event. We're really excited. I haven't seen the lineup for what he's going to perform, but I know it's going to be fantastic.
Stacy, were you on Channel 2 today, earlier?
I was.
Ah, see, yeah, good. You guys did a great job. I watched that, so I learned more about what you guys are doing. And I will tell you, the NICU and what you guys do, and the doctors and nurses who save lives every single day, this is such a worthy cause, Stacy, that tomorrow night will be great. And the fact it's bringing awareness to what you guys do is even better.
Yeah, yeah. Many people don't know this, but 1 out of 10 babies end up spending time in a NICU facility. And, you know, that's a real drain on families. Mm-hmm. It costs about $20,000 a day just to care for a baby in the NICU.
Oh, and I've seen that. And, you know, when my son was born, thank God he was healthy. But like 3 a.m, I'm looking at him in the nursery, and I see all the doctors and nurses come running by because a baby was born way early.
Yeah.
And just the passion and everything they give to make sure that baby survives, I mean, it takes your breath away. So this is a great cause. And it's the fact that people are now getting aware of this and what they do, I think it's even better.
Yeah, we're excited about it.
Yeah, and you should be. Tell us what you guys want to accomplish tomorrow night.
So what we're hoping to accomplish is to expand our NICU and the care that we're providing in that NICU. So you and I know more people are moving to Nashville every day. Last stat I saw was like 66 people a day are moving to Nashville. So more people coming into town, more need for healthcare, you know, for moms, but also for those babies who spend more time in our NICU.
Yeah, and you talk about the moms and being able to care for them, because I think everybody focuses on the babies, and I get it, they should, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, the mom's gone through a lot as well. The families need your support at the same time.
Absolutely. You know, often it's so hard after baby's born and they have to spend time in the NICU. Families have to go back to work. And, you know, the babies can often be in there for months at a time. So it's a real drain on families, and we're trying to provide some support for that. We, through this event, we're going to be able to create what we call rooming in spaces so that moms and dads can spend more time in the hospital with baby and not be immediately discharged.
So we're talking to Stacy Eaton Carter, Director of Operations and Donor Relations at Ascension St. Thomas Foundation. Stacy, I know this is your job, but why are you so passionate about this?
What's not to be passionate about? Moms and babies and, you know, caring for our community. There's nothing better.
Yeah, and where else can people, if they need information, how do they go about finding you guys and what's out there?
Sure. They can go to rockthecradlenashville.com. At that website, you can buy some tickets, and I'm going to let you in on a little information. If you are a nursing student or if you're an Ascension St. Thomas caregiver, send us a DM through our social media pages, through Instagram or Facebook. It's St. Thomas, Ascension St. Thomas. Go there and DM us, and we'll send you a promo code for a discount.
Oh, very cool. Nice. Again, rockthecradlenashville.org. It is tomorrow night at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, the brand new Pinnacle. Stacy, thanks so much for doing this. We're excited about it and happy to help out.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. That is rockthecradlenashville.org. Stacy Eaton Carter, the Director of Operations and Donor Relations at Ascension St. Thomas Foundation, joining us, and looking forward to it tomorrow with Tim McGraw.
It'll be a lot of fun. I've not been to the venue, but now that I know it's for a good cause, even better.
Absolutely. I want to get back into the Arch Manning discussion, because a lot of you wanted to weigh in on, you know, the sons and, you know, the kids, you know, being having all that pressure that they've had to deal with. We'll do that coming up next in hour number two, also, or hour number three. And also Cam Ward will address the media towards the bottom of the hour. We'll have that as well. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.